Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off another week. And once again, happy Father's Day to all the Disney dads out there. Thanks for being a part of our community. We're getting ready to sit down with listener Rebecca for a great trip report to kick off the week. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. It's summer, it's hot, and it's time to get under a tree, lay on a hammock, and either listen or read a great book. Two books that you want to check out. The Wisdom of Walt is author Jeff Barnes' original book about Walt Disney and how he brought animation to life in the original theme park, Disneyland, out in California. And then the newest book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, that focuses more on Walt Disney World and how Walt took those dreams and had the idea to bring it to Central Florida. Unfortunately, he wasn't around to see those things come true, but Roy came through. Both books, great lessons to help us build better relationships with those around us. Walt was great at that, and he passes on those secrets to us. So check out these two great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. And just a little hint, if you forgot to get Dad something for Father's Day, you can order this in about 5 minutes, and he's got 365 days of great information for his upcoming Disney trips. So check him out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1,343 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope that you're settling in here and getting ready for a great week. Thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate that. We don't say it enough, but we appreciate it each and every time you take the 30 minutes or so to listen to the podcast. So thanks for doing that today. We've got a great trip report headed your way. This one's been a long time coming. We've been waiting a while, but we're going to get to it today. Rebecca is joining us from down in the Lone Star State, down in Austin. Rebecca, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Glad to have you and a former St. Louisan. Love having that here, at Chesterfield. Max Scherzer, the home of Max Scherzer for the Washington Nationals. I don't know if you're a big baseball fan, but yeah, he's also from Chesterfield.
Well, that sounds great. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I believe you.
Okay. All righty. All right. So, no problem. We'll talk sports on Wednesday. Sorry, no problem. All right. So let's talk about your trip. You took it about a year ago, but it's going to be a good for folks that are planning on going here in the next few months because it'll be that same time of year. So give us some of the basics, like when did you go, who went with you, that kind of stuff.
We went in October, and the reason we chose October was because my husband is kind of a crazy person, and he loves really crowded times. So, I know, exactly, crazy person. But we also both love food and wine, and so we have this compromise where we try to go during food and wine, and so I try to schedule our Epcot days on the weekends, which is something that I do not recommend to anybody who does not like crowds. It's crazy. So during October, the weather is pretty mild, but also you have Food and Wine Festival. So that's when we sort of try to schedule ours. So you're also there's, fall break then. So that helps.
So your husband seriously like seeks out the more crowded times of the year to go. That's like his desired times.
Correct. Correct. He wants to go spring break, fall break, or Christmas. That is when he wants to go.
What's his reasoning behind that? He finds it more like active and alive, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He loves to watch crowds. He loves to watch people. He loves the energy. And I like that, too. And when it was just the two of us, that was really easy to do. Because we used to go all the time before we had kids. Now we have kids, very young kids. And so it's a little bit tougher with the big crowds. But it's still totally doable if you plan it out.
Oh, yeah. 100%. We've learned that because I don't intentionally go when the crowds are, but with my wife being a teacher, we go that Christmas week and stay for New Year's and, marathon weekends mixed in there. And Yeah, we're there and the crowds are there. I wish I didn't always have to do that, but it's just kind of a side effect. And we, like you said, you can totally have a great trip. Now, let me ask you this too, because before we dive into this trip, it sounds like you're an experienced Walt Disney World traveler and you kind of know all the ins and outs of the system. So tell us about kind of where you stand as far as like, you know, how many trips you've gone on and what do you typically, what's planning look like for you?
Oh, gracious. We've been on a lot of trips because, like I said, before we had kids, we'd probably go like 3 or 4 times a year. And now our kids are, right now, they're 5 and 3. And so once we had kids, it sort of took a while before we were ready to go back again. But I am that person who is really excited to do our ADRs and really excited to do our fast pass reservations. I'm the person who everybody else calls to ask about the Disney planning. So I really get very excited about the planning. That's half the fun for me.
So what strategies have you learned over the years? Because I think a lot of folks listening today are like, yep, that's me too. I'm exactly that person. I'm the point person for like everybody in the office or at school or the extended family. So what have you learned that's really helped you kind of come up with a system to streamline these things?
Well, the first thing I do is I look at crowd calendars and I figure out which days when I'm going to be there is going to be, you know, the best day to be at which park, because as much as my husband loves crowds, I don't want to be at a place that's a 10, yeah, exactly. You know, that we're going to compromise and go at like a 7 or a 6 or something like that. So first thing I do is look at the crowd calendars and figure out which day is the best to go there. Then I figure out where I want to eat and sort of put those, you know, into the little cubby holes of what's the best day to go then. And then I try to figure out my fast passes from there. So it's this descending schedule.
Nice. That makes sense. That's exactly what I do. I kind of look at the crowd calendar. Then it's ADRs, because obviously they come way before fast passes. And then right. I look at my ADRs and like, okay, well, if I'm meeting Mama Melrose that night, I'm going to be in the studios that night. So yeah, I build around there, kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what I do.
Awesome. So tell us about, you guys went in October. Let's get into this particular trip because it was a 9-night or 9-day trip. So a long trip. You guys stayed at French Quarter, right?
We did. It was our first time at French Quarter and I loved it and I can't wait to go back because it was so small and we were in Building 4 right at the corner. So it was literally a 30-second walk from the front door of my room to the food court. It was brilliant. I just loved it. So I could just run down there and get my coffee and come back up to the room. Because I'm an early riser and nobody else is. So it was just great to be that close. And also just one bus stop. We also loved that. Because before we've stayed at Riverside, which is also great. And we loved that too. But I do prefer French Quarter.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned you were there and you're an early riser. Did you get any of those? I'm sure you had to have had some beignets, but did you have that biscuit with the maple jelly? Because I'm going over there just to get that. I'm staying at Riverside for part of my trip, but I'm walking over to get that.
No, we did have some beignets, but I don't do a lot of cooking, but what cooking I do is very Southern Central. So I don't really buy many Southern foods from other places unless I cook them, except for homecoming, which we went to later in the trip, which I will get to, which is amazing. I did not intentionally buy biscuits from the French Quarter food court.
Okay. If you make them all the time, I can excuse you for that. See, I don't get those made at home. So there you go. Yeah. Okay. So walk us through the highlights of the trip, because you had a lot of dynamics, a lot of moving pieces to this trip. So let's just walk through it. Go ahead.
We sure did. So our daughter is in kindergarten, so she couldn't miss more than a certain amount of days. So my son at the time was only 2. So he and I arrived Thursday night, like 7 or 8 at night. And we decided not to take the Magical Express because we were concerned about our luggage arriving at like 2 in the morning, which I wasn't really down with. So we actually decided to take a sedan service, which worked really well for us. It was a little pricey. I think it was like $70 or so for us to get the sedan service. But that meant that we knew that they would be there. They helped with our luggage, which Uber would not have done. And we knew that everything would be set and ready and they would take us right there. So we took the sedan service and got to French Quarter and went straight to bed. Because by the time we got there, it was like 9 or 9:30, which was, you know, past my son's bedtime.
So let me ask you real quick about that. Let me real quick before we go on from there, because I have to ask you this, because I remember the first time I stayed at Walt Disney World in a Walt Disney World resort, it was arriving later at night, just like you. We took a private Magical Express, I don't even know if it was around then, to be honest. We took a town car, I think like Mears or something, to get to the hotel. And we pulled up at night when it was dark. And I was just like awestruck because French Quarter has that overhang with all the light bulbs and the jazz music playing. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I didn't even know what I was getting myself. It was my first trip, and that's what sold me. Now here I am doing the podcast for 10 years. You know, I was like, whoa, this is a mess. So was it kind of the same thing for you? I mean, you've been to Walt Disney World, you know how it goes, but I mean, still, pulling up at night at French Quarter is kind of a special thing.
Oh, it was just charming with all those lights. It was gorgeous. And before then, we drove by and we could see Spaceship Earth driving in. It was all lit up. And part of the reason we choose Port Orleans is because of it's so close to Epcot, because we love Epcot, but we don't have the budget for like Yacht Club. So, you know, we drive by Spaceship Earth and it's all lit up. And then we pull into French Quarter and it's so lit up and so pretty. And the smell, you know, that smell of French Quarter, you know, you can, I don't know what it is. I don't know if the beignets or what, but it's so fragrant and so pretty. And it was so active as well inside, even though it was like 9 or 9:30 at night. It just seemed very vibrant and just lovely.
It makes it hard to go to bed unless you're exhausted.
It did. I was a little tired, but not as tired as I, you know, if it hadn't been for the fact that I had my very young son with me, I would have wanted to walk around for a while, but I knew it too. I should probably put him to bed.
Smart call for everybody involved, even the fellow guests. Thank you for doing
exactly.
That.
Okay, yes.
Let's go ahead and walk, because we've got a lot to talk about and, you know, not a whole lot of time. So walk us through the highlights.
Sure. So the next day, on day one, it was just my son and me and a couple of friends that I have that live down in Florida that have annual passes. So they met up with us. We went to Animal Kingdom and we saw a couple of the big highlights, like the safari, and we met Mickey, and best judgment, we went to It's Tough to Be a Bug, which is not maybe a great idea, but we also ate at Yak and Yeti, which was delicious. And, you know, even though my kids are very picky eaters, we still found something there for him to eat. So that was great. And then after we went to Animal Kingdom, my friends went on their way to go back with their families. And I took my son to Epcot, just him and me. And we went to the character spot, even though we didn't have a fast pass. And this is the first time in the trip it set this pace. Like, he wanted to see Mickey and Goofy, but he refused to talk to Minnie. And for the rest of the trip, he refused to talk to any female characters. Like, no Minnie, no Daisy, no princesses. We have so many pictures of him scowling at any female. It was very strange.
What's up with that? What's he watching on TV?
I don't know. But he had a great time. And my parents arrived that evening. They called me when they got there. We went back to the resort, and we all walked over to Boat Rights to eat at Port Orleans, at Riverside, rather. Which was it was pretty good, and it was a easy and nice walk. So that was fun. And late that night, at about 8 or 9, my husband and my daughter arrived. So finally, we have most of the party there, and everybody goes to bed.
There you go. It's a replay of last night. The night before, everybody's here. Go to bed.
Exactly. Go to bed. The next morning was our first day with almost everybody there. And, of course, that's Magic Kingdom Day, first day. And my mother is a brilliant seamstress, and this is a good tip for anybody who can sew. These, you know, big princess dresses for little bitty girls, they're hot and they're itchy. So my mom made these aprons for my daughter that looked like a princess dress in the front, but could easily come off, and she was just wearing her normal clothes underneath. Oh, so that day she was wearing her bell apron, so it looked like she was wearing a bell dress in the front, but she was not actually doing that.
That is
so when it got
smart.
Hot later in the day, she could take it off.
That is so smart. You need to start an Etsy site or something, because I fought with Mallory so many times because she had to have the dress on, but it was itchy and it was scratching her. You know, like, I'm like, well, you could take it off then. You don't have to wear. No, I got to wear. Okay, then wear it. No, but it's itching me. I'm like, I can't win, because no matter what I say, it's together.
Yes. So, but please. That was a perfect, like, my mom made a bell one and a Minnie Mouse one. And I believe a Snow White one. So she could just wear them whenever. And they were just cotton. So you could fold them up real small and shove them in the bottom of a diaper bag.
Nice.
So if she's changed her mind later, she could put them back on. So they have lots of patterns and such on Etsy and Pinterest or whatever. So that's a really good tip for anybody who can sew. to look that up because it makes it so much easier.
Good tip.
And for my son, she made a Batman shirt with a Batman cape. So he was wearing a Batman shirt.
Wait, Batman?
Batman shirt, Batman cape.
Just gives because, the wrong part.
I mean, he can't wear like a Mickey apron.
That's it's not, true.
It doesn't have the same effect. So, you know, he wore the Batman shirt. So that's what we did. Yeah. So right. Because she was wearing the Belle apron, of course, we went to Enchanted Tales' Belle, and they picked her to be the Beast. And I think that's probably because she was wearing the Belle apron. So that was great. And we did a couple of other fast passes at Magic Kingdom. Including Barnstormer, which was our first disaster.
Uh-oh.
Because my daughter had watched the YouTube video of Barnstormer a whole bunch of times and was like, yeah, I can't wait to go. And as soon as she got on, she just started screaming. She hated it. And even now, she will tell me, I'm not going on roller coasters. So apparently I have spoiled her for life. Like,
there's YouTube. You can watch a good video together. It's cheaper.
I guess so, yeah. So, fast forwarding through the rest of the day, because, you know, not many highlights. That night, or that afternoon, my brother arrived. So now we have the whole party there, all of us. So we hung out at Epcot for a little bit. And that night, after the kids went to bed, my husband, my brother, and I all went to Disney Springs, which was the first time I'd been there since it had changed to Disney Springs instead of Downtown Disney. And it was huge. And my husband loved it because it was super crowded. So that was... That was great, you know.
It's so funny.
Yeah, we ate at Raglan Road and had, you know, a couple beers, walked around and, you know, took the boat from French Quarter to Disney Springs, which we loved. And eventually went home. So the next day we went to Animal Kingdom and we had a pre-park opening reservation for Tusker House. And I was hoping that there would be, you know, like at Magic Kingdom, you have that, like if you have a pre-park opening ADR for Be Our Guest or whatever, there'll be PhotoPass photographers out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping there would be that at Animal Kingdom. There were not. There were zero photographers out. So if anybody is going for a pre-park opening ADR at Tusker House for the purpose of having their picture taken in front of the tree, don't do that because there were no photographers there. We still got great pictures from our phones and stuff, but don't do that just for that purpose. That would be... Yeah, an important tip. We went on the Navi River ride, which my daughter still talks about. She loved that. You know, and the safari and, you know, the big stuff there. And that night we moved on to Hollywood Studios because we are big park hopper people. And we did Star Tours and Muppets. And then we did the dessert party, which we loved. And I cannot wait to do again. Maybe not at Hollywood Studios, but somewhere else.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that, because we get that question a lot. You know, what do you get with the dessert party? What were your thoughts when you left? Like, what would you do it again? Was it worth the money? All that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we got there right when the dessert party opened, which I would highly recommend, because that's the only way you're going to make it worth your money. We went in there, and husband and I both had, you know, a couple of drinks, which helps make it worth it, because drinks at, you know, Disney World are expensive. There were lots of different kinds of desserts. There's also some cheese and that sort of stuff set out, which was good because my son doesn't really like sweets. So, you know, there was something for him there too. And the interaction with the stormtroopers who came through the crowd was really fun. Like, I was wearing a shirt that said Rebel, and they sort of picked me out, and, you know, they told me that they were looking at me and, you know, watching me, and we have some fun video of them talking to my son, and so it was fun. And my brother went to go meet Kylo Ren, which you can do during that time. And my brother's a huge Star Wars fan. And the pictures of him while meeting Kylo Ren are hilarious because he's older than I am. So he's 39 and he's like starstruck. Talking to Kylo Ren, he's so excited to talk to Kylo Ren. It's hilarious.
That's awesome.
So we loved that. And then having the reserved place to stand for the fireworks was also fantastic because, as you've said so many times, time is money.
Mm-hmm.
And so not having to stand there and stake out my spot to see the Star Wars fireworks was fantastic because I already knew that I had somewhere to stand. That would be a good spot.
Good review. Good. Okay, cool. So what else?
The next day, we went to Epcot and did some fast passes in the morning. It was really hot that day. So that afternoon, we took a little break at the Contemporary. Husband and I took the kids to... There's a bar called the Outer Rim,
mm-hmm.
which is right by Chef Mickey's and across from their quick service place as well. And there's lots of room for the kids to sort of like get out of the stroller and just walk around. And they have TVs on. And there were several times we'd just take a break there just for like an hour and a half or so. Just let the kids get out of the stroller for a minute. And we get them some milk and an apple or whatever from the Contempo Cafe that's just there. And then you can just hop on the monorail and go to the Magic Kingdom. So we did that quite a bit. And we did that that day because that night we had an ADR at Ohana.
Oof, which, one of my favorites.
Yes, it was delicious. And another good tip for people with picky eaters, my kid, there's no way my kids would eat anything that they serve at Ohana. But I asked the waiter, and he very happily brought out a huge bowl of mac and cheese for my kids. Don't get me wrong, it's not cheaper.
That's what I'm going to say. No, Disney's like, yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. It's a $25 serving of mac and cheese, but at least the kids are eating.
Yeah, think about how many blue boxes of Kraft you could buy with that.
Oh, exactly. So they ate their mac and cheese, and I got the impression that there were other options, like maybe pizza or corn dogs. I mean, don't quote me on that, but it seemed like there were other things that they could do. If you have picky eaters and you want to go to Ohana, there are choices.
Yeah, I'm sure they would gladly bring out like 5 Uncrustables too.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they'd bring out probably whatever you wanted for what the adults are paying. So whatever. Yeah. So from there, we went to the Magic Kingdom and we saw Happily Ever After. We had to stake out a spot like an hour and a half ahead of time. Hopefully that craziness has died down since then, but I have no idea. No,
it's still crazy. Yeah. I mean, unless you're going during a really slow time, it's still nuts because that show... I think it's just because of the technology, the projections that the common guest, you know, the person who's on the once in a lifetime trip that doesn't do any research, they're blown away by it. And I think the hardcore Disney fans kind of also fond of it. As much as Wishes was kind of an emotional thing for us that have seen it many, many times, I think Happily Ever After hits kind of down the center for everybody more than Wishes.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, there's something for everybody in that show. And even though, like I said, it's not Wishes, so there's not the nostalgia attached to it, but it's still a wonderful show, and the fireworks are really stunning. It's just gorgeous. So the next day, the only thing I really learned on day 5 was how much my kids like the things that you don't really need fast passes to. It really hammered home. My kids really love Carousel of Progress. They really love Aladdin. They really love the carousel. I mean, these are the things that my kids want to go on. They don't care about, like, Jungle Cruise. They don't care about any of that.
That's true.
Anything that would remotely need a fast pass, they don't care at all.
You know, that won't last forever, so you got to enjoy that while you can. Because it'll be Seven Dwarfs Mine Train before you know it with your kids' age.
Oh, that's true. And I had to learn to sort of let go, like, my kids don't want to do these really important fast passes at I wanted to, you know, that I did. That, and that's fine. You just got to let go. You got to do, if the kids want to go on the carousel 3 times, and you go on the carousel 3 times, and that's fine.
So true.
Yeah. Fast forwarding to day 7, we went, or the day before we had gone to Hollywood Studios, and my daughter spotted that, like, one of the face painting booths. They have, like, those really pretty different, you know, face painting things,
yes.
But... as much as I love my daughter, I'm not paying $20 to have somebody paint her face. And so my mother had the brilliant idea of using our makeup to paint their faces the next morning, which is what we did. So now every time we even go to the fair here, every woman has some makeup palette at home that they have like 3 or 4 colors that they've never used. And that is what we do. Like I have bright purples and blues and stuff that I've never used before. And so we take them with us, and now we paint their faces before we even leave the hotel.
I love this idea, but I guess you got to have some kind of a talent, though, to make it look appealing.
You have to keep in mind, like, a 4-year-old doesn't care.
That's true.
A 4-year-old is like, oh, my face painted. So, no, it does not look even remotely as good as like the Disney people do, but they don't care. Like, what they want is their face painted, and that's what we did, and they loved it. So.
Brilliant.
For people with really little kids who have any amount of, you know, adventurous decisions to, you know, do some artistic stuff, just give it a try because the kids love it.
Nice.
They don't need it to look perfect.
That's true. Good stuff.
That morning, we also took my son to get his haircut at the Magic Kingdom, which I knew about because of this podcast. And I highly recommend it. It was a very reasonable price, like $17 or $18.
Yeah, same price. It's the same price as Great Clips here in St. Louis.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was like a dollar more than the kids' haircutting place that we do here in Austin. Like it was very reasonable. They did a great job. And also, we were not getting my daughter's haircut, but they gave her some, you know, fairy glitter or whatever in her hair. And she was thrilled. It literally took us a month to get it all out of her hair. But she loved it. So, you know, everybody was happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that same day, we took the kids to Cinderella's Royal Table. And they could not have cared less about the whole experience.
I've heard that, like, so many times, because everybody's like, I got to get up at 6 a.m., you know, or, you know, because I'm in Central Time, so are you. He's like, you got to get up, you know, 6 a.m., 6:01, you know, it's all over if I'm not on the phone by then. And then, you know, you get it, you like look forward to it for 6 months, and then the kids are like, can I go ride the carousel? Like you just said, you know, it's like, no, are you kidding me?
That was not even one that I tried to make in 180 days. My mom emailed me like 4 months before the trip. She's like, oh, did you know that you could eat inside the castle? And I'm thinking, of course I know this. But she's like, I want to eat there. It's like, oh, okay, fine. So here I am on the computer 3 or 4 times a day, every day, checking to see if there's a time. And finally I get one. And I'm so proud of myself. I get in there and my kids don't care. Oh. My daughter is sort of excited to see the princesses. We actually have a really funny picture of her, because you know, the princesses come out one by one, and then they'll, you know, there's like this big announcement, like, and now comes in like Princess Jasmine or whoever. And my daughter's talking to Ariel, and they announce Jasmine, and my daughter turns to Ariel. She's like, Ariel, did you hear Jasmine is coming? This is awesome. And see Ariel's face like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Beat it, Ariel. You're old
Fine.
News.
Yeah, that's exactly what my daughter was saying. Yeah. So, and my son, of course, like I said earlier, was scowling at every princess.
That's
that
a terrible place to take him. To. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. And although I will give the manager there some props, because Snow White was the first one who came by a table. And my son wanted nothing to do with her. Didn't want to talk to her. And the manager came over like a princess and a half later. It's like, do we need to send Snow White back over here? You know, we wanted to make sure that y'all got to see everybody. And so that was really nice. Mm-hmm. Even though my son wanted nothing to do with it, they were really making sure that every child got the opportunity to see every princess, even if it was the child trying to reject the princess at the time. So,
well, you know, maybe he hurt her feelings, and she wanted to come back and, you know, have another shot.
Never know,
you
know, maybe that could be you it. Never know. So the next day 8 was our last day, and we started the day off at Magic Kingdom with a few different fast passes, like Jungle Cruise and Pirates, just the basic things. But of course, what the kids wanted to see was things like Small World and the carousel and the teacups. And so that's what we focused most of our time there on. And then in the afternoon, we had a Frozen Ever After Fast Pass. And my daughter really likes Frozen. And so does my son. And they hated it. Just hated it. The marshmallow part sort of scared them. And then, like, that quick downhill part. We have the ride picture. And I'm a bad mom, because every time I look at it, I kind of laugh. But
that's
both
so
of them, like, their face is just horrified. Like, they're both terrified in that part. So I don't know if we'll try it again on the next time we go, but they, oddly enough, they kind of hated it. So if somebody has kids that are, you know, sort of scared about, you know, fast moving rides or a lot of dark, I would strongly recommend you steer clear of Frozen Ever After and also Spaceship Earth, because we didn't think about Spaceship Earth, but at the very beginning of Spaceship Earth, it's super dark. Mm-hmm. For kind of a long time if you have really little kids. And my daughter was really scared of that. And she still tells me that she's not going back in the big ball. She still tells me that. And so that obviously made sort of an impression on her. So I've had to tell her many times, you don't want to go on a ride. You never have to go on it. But she just still impresses on me. She will not go back in the big ball.
But you know what? That brings up a great point that, you know, Disney doesn't label Frozen Ever After as a scary ride, or, you know, especially something like Spaceship Earth. It's very edutainment and just, you know, it's an experience. But I mean, you're right. We, you know, things just like large characters, not necessarily like scary characters, but large and dark. And, you know, you got to consider those things, and they can kind of sneak up on you like they did for you.
Exactly. It never occurred to me that she would be afraid of Spaceship Earth. Like, I knew to avoid the Haunted Mansion, but Spaceship Earth didn't really cross my mind, but it really scared her the first time we went on it. And, you know, much to my dismay, I would never force my child to go on a ride that they were scared of, but it really scared her. So if you have a child that's really scared of the dark, be careful about Spaceship Earth, because it really has that. And Frozen Ever After has some faster moving parts than your kids may be aware of. Now, if I had known to warn her, if I had thought that through, they may have been okay with Frozen Ever After, but I had forgotten about that part in Maelstrom where it goes down that hill.
I got to tell you this story. You know, this is how parenting happened in the 70s when I was, you know, younger here in St. Louis. My dad always told me we were in line for the log ride at Six Flags. I don't know if you used to go Six Flags out in Eureka.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
So we weren't in line for the log ride. We were in line for the Screaming Eagle, which is like the biggest roller coaster in the park. He's like, no, we're in line for the log ride. And the sucker pulls up. Yeah, so that's what that was parenting in 1977. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I can imagine that would leave an impression, for sure. Yeah.
So you're a much better parent than... No, yeah. I love my parents, don't get me wrong, but my dad must have really wanted to ride the Screaming Eagle, I'm just saying.
Well, it is a fun ride, so I can't really blame him that much. But yeah. So that night, my husband and I left the kids with my parents, and he and I went to Disney Springs just to sort of walk around, just the two of us, and... We didn't have an ADR, but we just walked up to Homecoming because I had wanted, because I'm a big, you know, adventurous eater, I had wanted what I thought they offered at Quick Service at Morimoto, which is Octopus, which I really like. They don't offer it anymore, or didn't when I was there, but Homecoming is just right across the way. So we're like, oh, well, let's just see. And we walked up, and it was a Friday night, and they easily sat us at the bar. I mean, right away.
So you got in on a Friday night in October during mm-hmm. Food and Wine on a walk-up. That's a miracle.
It's 30 at night. So it was like right when we should not have had any business being able to just walk up.
No kidding.
But for some reason, we were able to just sit right there at the bar. And we had the fried chicken and fried green tomatoes and maybe one other thing that I can't remember. But the fried chicken... I make a mean fried chicken, but their fried chicken was really quite good. I was very impressed. So even as a person who cooks Southern food, it was really good. And I would definitely go back.
Nice. Favorite of mine. I don't get the Southern kind of comfort food unless I go like to a place like Cracker Barrel. You know, around here, seriously, I mean, we're pretty simpletons, but I mean, Homecoming is just... It's something that I really like because I can look forward to it and maybe have it once a year. You know, I think that's what, for me, that's what's going to keep it special is that it's a very, very, very good meal. If I had it all the time, I wouldn't appreciate it. So I'm going to always keep it as kind of that special place to go, but it's amazing.
Oh yeah, it is really good. Even as somebody who, you know, can and does cook Southern food, it is really very good. So the only last thing that I would add is that, you know, during this whole time, Mickey's not-so-scary Halloween party was going on. We did not go because I was not confident that my kids would stay awake that late. But so when we got to the Orlando airport at the very end, apparently, at the time anyway, they were forcing everybody to take all of their food out of their carry-ons and put that in a separate bin, which I had never seen before. But because, you know, so many people at the Orlando airport had just been to Disney World and had just trick-or-treated and had like 5 pounds of Halloween candy, we all had to take that out. And they would sit there and swipe every individual piece of candy with whatever little swiper thing that they were testing for whatever it is they're testing for.
Oh.
So, yeah, it took forever to get through security. And then they stopped me and pulled everything out of my bag because I had 2 packs of wipes in my bag. Oh, and apparently man. That was suspicious for some reason. I don't know. So it did take us forever to go through security. I don't know if it's still going to be that way the next time October and the Halloween party rolls around. But if anybody, you know, is concerned about that, maybe put your Halloween candy in your checked luggage. Because the people that were there having like 3 pounds of individual fun size candy swiped one at a time just looked like they were, you know, like, yeah. Why?
Well, I can't imagine why? Because, you know, the last time we went to the Halloween party was before I started flying. So we drove down, but we literally came home with at least 5 pounds of candy. And like you said, individually wrapped, because my wife took it to school and like throughout the month of October was feeding it to her students in her class, you know, as like a reward. And I mean, it lasted her the entire month. I mean, from that one night of the party, she got a month's worth of candy for her 25 students. I mean, it was ridiculous.
It looked like 3 or 5 pounds of candy. And they were just like throwing it out on a desk and just sitting there just one at a time swiping them. So I don't know if they're still going to do that next October. I don't know if that was just a one day thing. But it made it so that by the time we actually got to our gate, we only had like 20 minutes before we boarded, which is a good and bad thing when you have little kids.
Yeah, that's true. So, I love airports. I like getting there early and just checking everything out because I went forever without going to one. So I get a kick out of it. Now, let me ask you this, kind of as we wrap up. You know, it sounds like this was a really good trip. You know, food and wine time. You had some really, really good meals. How many miles do you guys put on in a day? Because you guys park hop and sounds like you go pretty good. So do you keep track of that?
Yeah. We don't. I know that before we had kids, we would do 10 to 12 miles a day. Now that we do have, now we do have kids, obviously you got to go a little slower. I would guess it's probably 7 to 9 if I had to guess.
Slacker.
So yeah, I know. Right? And we don't take nap breaks in the middle of the day. But we also don't usually stay until park close.
If I don't have my nap break, I'm a grumpy. Everybody that's been there with me, and a lot of our listeners have. If I don't have a nap, I'm crabby at nighttime.
See, I am totally fine with stopping for a nap. The problem is I can't force my children to take a nap in the middle of the day, and they don't nap in the stroller. They just don't. So usually by about like 7 or so, they're just done, which is fine. We go back to the hotel, we grab some pizza, and we watch some TV, and we go to sleep. And it's great. And that way the next morning everybody's refreshed and we get up and we're there for rope drop.
Good point. So let me ask you this. So you have another trip coming up here in a not too distant future. So, you know, every trip kind of takes on a personality of its own. So, you know, what are you looking forward to the next visit and like where are you staying and what kind of things are you already kind of scheduling and getting things set up for?
Sure. So we have 19 days until we do our ADRs, but this is the first time we'll ever be on the dining plan. We've never done that before, but we got the free dining plan with our bounce back offer, but it's the quick service dining plan. So we're probably only going to do maybe 1 or 2 sit down meals. So that's hard for me to sort of dial that back. But when we're there, it's going to be my father's birthday and my son's birthday as well while we're there. And my daughter, it's like, well, that's not fair that I don't get a birthday day. So we're also going to do a birthday day for her while we're there in our 7-day trip. So we'll have 3 birthday, quote, days while we're there. And we're staying at Pop, which we've also never done before. I'm really looking forward to that, especially the refurbished rooms.
Yeah.
The only reason we haven't stayed there before is that they didn't have queen-size beds. So I'm looking forward to trying it because if it works out for our family, I can't see any reason why we wouldn't stay there probably again in the future.
I give you just speaking to you today. This is really the only time we've talked, but I give you about a 90% chance of loving Pop because with the queen beds, the rooms are very, very family friendly. You know, they're delightful, and the resort itself is just it's amazing. I think you're really going to like great transportation. You know, great food options in the food court. I think you'll love it.
I'm really excited. I mean, I love French Quarter. I really do. But I really love the price of Pop better. So,
<too.
laughs> you know, if I can find a place that we love just as much as French Quarter or even close, then we'll be back there instead. You know, we've considered renting, you know, vacation points before, but there's just something about just going through, you know, our friendly travel agent and doing it that way that I just prefer. So I really hope that we love Pop because I would like to go back there again if we can.
Yeah, I fell in love with it when it first opened. And, you know, for me, it's nostalgia because we were there right after it opened. Paige was little. You know, God help us, Paige is now in Ireland on a college, you know, service project for 6 weeks, you know. And we grew up there. She was only like 5 the first time we went. So it's kind of like it's comfortable for us. But I think even as a first-time visitor to Pop Century, you're going to see that because this resort itself draws on nostalgia, unlike Walt Disney World has nostalgia everywhere, but I think you get personal nostalgia at Pop Century because you'll see one of those Simon games or a, you know, Michael Jackson Thriller album or something in the lobby and the music they play. It's like, it's just like, wow. It's like discovery around every corner. I think that's what I like about Pop.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it because it does seem more intricate and more laid out and all that than French Quarter. And, you know, in the future, it'll have the gondolas or gondolas.
Gondolas, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, too.
All right. Well, Rebecca, I appreciate you kicking off the week with us. Thanks so much for coming on. Boy, it sounds like you had a great trip at French Quarter. Going to have another one at Pop Century. And we'll have to talk again soon. So, hey, tell everybody happy birthday when you go down for me.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by two great sponsors, thewisdomofwalt.com. You got two great books there for the Disney dad in your family. If you forgot to get a gift, get it now. You're only a day late right now. Or so just drop out thewisdomofwalt.com to do that. Or give your dad 365 days of great information for Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal. The best thing you can do is keep your dad out of lines. They get cranky. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And we've got a great Facebook group over at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. And please support the show when you do your online shopping over at Amazon. Just go through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks again for starting the week with us. I loved, you know, talking Disney, hearing about Rebecca's trip there down to Walt Disney World. I can't wait to go. I'm going in just a couple weeks now, and I'm so pumped right now. So anyway, for Rebecca, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.